The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Very merry draft miss to you. Thank you all for joining us today. My name is Ken Swanson. This is the AP Draft Show. It's the final AP Draft Show before the draft starts. Not before the Chiefs pick, because the Chiefs traded out of the first round. And because of that, we have to do a two-round mock. And here to help me do that are my dear pals. First, find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. Jake Stack. Merry draft miss, my friend.
Merry draft miss week, pals. We have made it. And as our loyal listeners know, we love mock drafts. We live for mock drafts. We can't get enough of mock drafts. There is one person in this group that I do have to say just really appreciates more than the rest of us even when you all make a mock draft and tag them in it. And that is our dear pal, Craig Stout, who cannot get enough of those. So make sure anytime you get a mock draft and you really are proud of it and think it's a really nice looking mock, make sure you're tagging Craig in it. So Craig, how you doing, buddy? Can you just talk to us a little bit more about why you like those so much?
You know what? Screw it. It's the last week. Send them all to me. I want them all. I want them all in my mentions.
Yes.
I'm very busy this week, so I probably am not going to respond to every single one of them. Send them to me. The faithful of Arrowhead Pride, I want to see them. Get them to me. This is the week to hit Craig Stout at Barley Hop on Twitter. Send them to me, right? Our dear pal, Matty Lane at Chief in Carolina. That's what people should do, right?
100%. And if Craig does not recognize, if he does not show interest in your mock draft, make sure you DM it to him too. So just send it to him two ways. You know, you maybe give it 24 hours before you send the DM, but make sure you do that. If you have his phone number, text it to him. If you live nearby, just swing by and yell it out your car window as you drive by. And with Renaissance Man on either end of it. So you know,
Craig's address is...
Nope. Here for those, I don't really want to introduce myself in any way here. You know, hi guys, I'm glad to be here. But I do want to ask a question to all three of you.
Oh no.
Which player could the Kansas City Chiefs draft in the second round of this draft that would make you do the gritty live on stream Friday night?
Ooh.
Aren't we going to...
That's a good one.
Aren't we going to get to that later?
No.
I don't believe that was a question, that which one would make you dance live on stream. So, like, this is just which pick would happen. Like, if Kyle Pitts fell to the Chiefs pick in the second round, I would get up and do the gritty on live stream. I have no idea how to do it. I can't dance. But if Kyle Pitts fell, I would do it live on stream.
So that's not happening.
So?
I have an answer. I will. If Landon Dickerson's the pick at 58, I'll do the gritty.
I'll be realistic. If Dyami Brown's the pick at 58, I'll do the gritty. I better learn how to do the gritty.
I would say Dyami, but then that would mean the Packers don't have a shot at him at 62. So it'd be like a gritty with me with tears in my eyes.
It'd be like that girl, that one girl that's doing the TikTok dance in tears.
Because it would be a sweet fit for Kansas City.
This would be great.
Dyami, but
if the Chiefs drafted Dyami Brown And then who was the other guy that was Landon Dickerson in the second round? All three of you could be doing the gritty live on stream, but Jake would do it while crying. Craig would be attempting to learn it on the fly.
I love it.
Yes. And if Kent is following the Landon Dickerson path, he would hurt his knee in the process.
Oh. Look, I'm gonna be work. I'm gonna have to learn the gritty too. Is that the one the Vikings did that Kirk Cousins tried to do really bad?
Yeah. Well, the only problem,
the eyes.
The only problem I see with it is the Chiefs usually don't draft good players, so I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna be doing it. I think I would just do it if they drafted a player that I think is good, but we'll see. We draft good players, so maybe Brett is listening. Do we? I don't know.
No. That's a professional transition right there.
Yeah.
If I've ever seen one. So we're doing a 2-round mock draft. The Chiefs have picked 58 and 63. Sorry. I can't talk, apparently. So what we did is we completed the first round of the mock, just real quick, knocked it out, and we're going to do the second round live because the second round is the only thing that matters now. So we're going to run through the first round really quick just so you guys know who's been picked. Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. New York Jets, Zach Wilson. 49ers, Mac Jones. Falcons, quarterback Trey Lance. Bengals, wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. Dolphins at 6, tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida. The Broncos trade up with Detroit at pick 7 and take quarterback Justin Fields. 8, Panthers, offensive tackle Penei Sewell out of Oregon. 9, the Detroit Lions with that pick take wide receiver Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. 10, the Cowboys taking cornerback Patrick Surtain. Giants at 11 take linebacker Micah Parsons out of Penn State. Cardinals trade up to 12 with the Eagles and take wide receiver Devontae Smith out of Alabama, trying to jump the New England Patriots. Chargers, offensive tackle Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. Vikings go edge Quiddy Pay out of Michigan. Patriots at 15, edge linebacker, I guess, technically. Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. Eagles, cornerback J.C. Horn at 16 out of South Carolina. 17, the Raiders, I really wanted to give them Spencer Brown because it's got to be someone outlandish for them to take, but they're going to win offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. The Dolphins take offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State at pick 18. Linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame is the pick for Washington at 19. The Bears at 20, cornerback Greg Newsome, Northwestern. The Colts, 21. Offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC. Titans, defensive tackle Christian Barmore out of Alabama at 22. Pick 23, edge Jalen Phillips out of Miami. 24, Steelers running back Najee Harris out of Alabama. 25, a trade-up. The Packers move up to select Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota. 26, the Browns take edge Jason Owa, the analytics athletic testing giant out of Penn State. 27, the Rams take edge Joe Tryon out of Washington. 28, the Saints take linebacker Jamin Davis out of Kentucky, a guy getting a lot of buzz lately. 29, wide receiver Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. To the Jaguars. 30, the Bills. Running back Travis Etienne out of Clemson. 31, the Ravens. Interior offensive lineman Creed Humphreys.
Hey, Kent, do you want a break real quick to catch your breath and I'll finish the first round for you?
Please.
Okay. With the 32nd pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select wide receiver Kadarius Toney out of Florida. You're welcome. I'm glad. I hope you
caught
your breath now.
Good
you
job.
Should be good.
Appreciate you. No, that meant a lot. Okay. Thanks, bud. That really helped. Let's go ahead and get the second round of this mock draft going. And Jake, you kick us off with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
What's so interesting about the draft week is this mock draft that we did 8 hours ago that lasted for 6 hours. There's already stuff in here that I'm like, oh, you've heard other things today already. So it's so wild this week. But a guy that I was pounding the table for the Jaguars to pick at the end of round one was one of my favorite players in this draft class, and Trayvon Merrig out of TCU. And you look at the Jaguars, their starting safeties are not good. Trayvon Merrig is good. So I think that pick makes sense here. for the team out of Jacksonville, Duval.
All right. Pick 34, the New York Jets are on the clock. And Craig, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to go offensive tackle here a little bit because some of the better guys have fallen, but Caleb Farley has fallen out of the first round. I think the Jets are in a position where they can gamble a little bit on a player like Farley, especially in the second round. He offers extreme value if he's healthy. I think he is a guy that would fit in really well on that secondary, would play really well. I think he can do a little bit of everything, a freak athlete. If he's healthy, this makes all the sense in the world. So I'm going Farley to the Jets.
Atlanta Falcons pick 35. Matthew Lane, please make the selection.
But this is a tricky one because I think everybody in the first round has kind of slated the Falcons to either trade back or select Kyle Pitts. And therefore, most places you look have the Falcons' needs listed as a tight end. The unfortunate thing is we took a quarterback in the first round in Trey Lance, which is fine. I think that's a good pick for them. I think it's smart. But then if you're moving forward, there's hard to pin down the needs of what this Falcons roster is going to have a year from now when Trey Lance matters. So I do think looking at the coaching staff coming over from Tennessee, they're going to try to pound the rock a little bit more, run a lot of play action, take a lot of the pressure off of Trey Lance like it was at North Dakota State. Get another tight end, Pat Freiermuth, put him in there. You can run all your two tight end sets. You can run the ball all you want and just throw little tiny dump offs, much like the Titans did, or throw it, you know, to wide open receivers down the field to get Ryan Tannehill the best quarterback in the league, according to some.
Oh, some. I actually really like this idea a lot. I think this is a good move. And, you know, we talk a lot about Kyle Pitts, but I mean, Pat Freiermuth would be a fascinating addition specifically to Arthur Smith. I mean, he's kind of like, I don't want to say a master of none, but I think he does a lot of things well. And I don't think he's actually kind of a boring pick, even though he tested really well and is expected to be a pretty high level athlete. The Miami Dolphins are on the clock at pick 36. And because two running backs have come off the board already, they secure theirs. They go Javonte Williams, the running back out of Miami. They get themselves a bell cow back. A guy with a lot of upside in the passing game, an exceptional pass protector, and a physical presence in that backfield. Javonte Williams, running back, the securing the top three are gone, and they wanted to make sure that they got their guy. Philadelphia Eagles on the clock at 37. Jake.
Yeah, so you look at the Eagles, and you know they took a guy in Jalen Reagor last year at the end of the first, and. You know, you look at how are they going to build around this young quarterback in Jalen Hurts and still needing more weapons, even though they invested heavily in that position last year. And they had a player a few years back, a local kid, Darren Sproles, the running back from K-State, who did a lot of good stuff for them. And I'm looking at a receiver that I think can play receiver, but he can also do some of that stuff where he can line up in the backfield and make Jalen Hurts' life a little bit easier, middle of the field. Working on that horizontal passing game. And so I went ahead and gave the Eagles Rondale Moore here, the wide receiver out of Purdue, just thinking he could fit into that offense. And like I said, make Jalen Hurts' life a little bit easier.
Cincinnati Bengals at pick 38. Craig Stout, what say you?
Well, the Bengals catch a little bit of a break here. They had to pick between Penei Sewell at the top of the draft and Ja'Marr Chase, and they went Ja'Marr Chase hoping that they could catch a starting offensive tackle to help protect Joe Burrow, and they did. Offensive tackles did not fly off the board at the end of the first round, and they catch the top guy at the second round here, Sam Cosmi out of Texas. Yes, he's a little bit short arm, but he is a good athlete. He's going to move pretty well. They're going to get a guy to try and protect Joe Burrow for the franchise for the next little while here. And they got, you know, kind of a steal here. A guy that's been in a lot of first round mocks and everything like that lately. A guy that could slip into the bottom of the first round. They catch him a little bit late here and they get their wide receiver and their starting offensive tackle with their first two picks of the draft.
Maddie Lane, pick 39, Carolina Panthers. Maddie and Carolina picking for Carolina.
If we were going to go the route of trades, I maybe would have considered trying to trade up from here because I think there was a cornerback on the board that greatly fits what Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers would like to do. Unfortunately, Caleb Farley went off the board at pick 34. But there's another guy that fits the same mold. Afitu Melifonwu, cornerback out of Syracuse. Definitely fits the Matt Rhule athleticism, upside, character model. I think he could step in there and give a secondary that is greatly lacking any level of size a good athlete to play on the outside to match up with some bigger wide receivers, something this team desperately needs since Josh Norman got old and then left the team.
All right, how about a little mini run on cornerback? The Denver Broncos moved up to go and grab their quarterback of the future. They need secondary help. There's good value on the boarded cornerback. Eric Stokes out of Georgia, making sure that they secure a guy, especially considering Melifonwu just went off the board. 41, the Detroit Lions. Jake, who is the pick?
So I wanted to go corner here, actually. Started looking at corners when the Bengals were on the board, and then you guys took the two that I was looking at. So, you know, the Detroit Lions want to be biting kneecaps, and we know that. And so how can they pass on a guy whose last name is Leatherwood? So they also need offensive tackle help. They have Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow, and that is about it for their offensive line. So bring in Leatherwood, comes from a blue blood program, play him at right tackle, play him at right or left guard. So he could find a starting spot on that offensive line pretty easily. With Jared Goff in the mix now, we know that he is not a second reaction type quarterback, so they better protect him if they want to have any type of success with him. So give me the tackle out of Alabama.
All right, the New York Giants and the Fighting Gettlemans on the clock at 42. What you got, Craig?
Man, there's some good edge defenders on the board here. You've got Azeez Ojulari that's still on the board, Joseph Osai that's still on the board. So naturally, Dave Gettleman comes out and takes edge Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, a guy who has gotten some first-round buzz, has gotten, you know, some hype as of late, obviously opted out last year. Dave Gettleman gets a big dude that he can move around a little bit on a defensive end and is able to make his pass rush a little bit better with a guy that has some pretty high upside.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with the remainder of this two-round mock draft right after this. All right, we are continuing our two-round mock draft, and we are on to pick 43 in the San Francisco 49ers on the clock, and Matthew Lane has the floor.
So I don't have a great feel for this pick, so you guys are more than welcome to jump in and correct me if we don't like this, but I'm feeling the 49ers. They did sign Alex Mack at center, but I don't know if he's a long-term answer. I think they could be looking for center help. Next to Alex Mack right now is Justin Skule. No idea if he's a guy that they plan on relying on for multiple years at this point in time. They could use some improvement there. What about Quinn Meinerz, offensive center, offensive guard, coming out of Wisconsin Whitewater? I think he would fit Kyle Shanahan's zone system. I think we saw him at Mobile. He moved well, especially now that he got himself back in shape, lost some weight since the last time we saw him play actual football before the Senior Bowl. I think he is a guy that would greatly fit their system. Could be useful there. Any objections?
No, I don't have any there. I do think that you probably play him at guard year one, have him learn protections and stuff like that from Alex Mack, and then transition to center in year two. I think that that's really good value.
Little surprised Landon Dickerson, even though he's not the most perfect scheme fit, he's value. I don't think he's going to operate poorly in a zone scheme. I like the player better, Leatherwood. Injury or just complete scheme fit? What is it?
Well, we gave them Mac Jones based purely on scheme fit, so we might as well stick to the scheme fit mantra and get the guy that I do think is a little bit better of a mover on the second level. Not laterally. I think Landon Dickerson is explosive out of his stance, but I think on the second level, Quinn Meinerz looked a little bit more comfortable and agile in space.
All right, Dallas Cowboys pick 44, and I am going to go ahead and grab a guy that is falling a little bit on, you know, I think he's highly regarded by Draft Twitter, and Jerry Jones loves to draft guys that are highly regarded on Draft Twitter, and we all think he got great value. See Connor Williams a couple years ago. This year's Connor Williams, Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan. Not sure if he's a tackle, not sure if he's a guard. The Cowboys need both. I am going to go and grab a guy that Jerry Jones, if he's reading Twitter, which I actually think he kind of does, sometimes he just goes and grabs some of these guys that look like good value compared to the rest of the National Football League. Maddie's grunting here.
Am I grunting here?
You looked like a little bit like frustrated for a second there.
No, I wasn't. I would say if I were to be looking at this board and seeing a guy that I thought was falling on the offensive line, I would be looking at a Walker Little. I would be looking at a Dylan Radunes. I don't know if Jalen Mayfield is just a guy that teams are going to fall in love with. I really do think the inability to show up in any form of good shape for his pro day is a concern that teams won't like.
I think it's fair, but I think the tape is pretty good. It warranted a pretty high grade for us, and I think a lot of people have the same opinion. 45, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Jake?
Me again with the Jags. So let's just look, because the Jaguars have had a crap ton of picks already. So they have taken number one overall, Trevor Lawrence, that guy. And then they went ahead and took Elijah Moore and Trayvon Merrick. So let's go ahead and look at, you know, protecting our first overall pick investment. And they spent a pick on the kid from Florida a couple years ago who is garbage. What's his name?
Juwan Taylor.
He is bad. He has not panned out. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about one of the aforementioned guys that Matthew just talked about, and Walker Little, the offensive tackle out of Stanford. I think at this point in the draft, you are banking on that upside and finding a spot for him along that offensive line. Probably could fit in at right tackle, and I think could probably play pretty quickly. And he is a high upside guy. We have not seen him play in 2 years. But, man, if at 45, if he can realize the potential that I think he has, could be a very nice value pick for the Jaguars right here.
New England Patriots at pick 46. Craig, what you got?
The New England Patriots desperately need a quarterback, but they're not taking Kyle Trask here. Like, that makes no sense to me. So they do also need a wide receiver. That wide receiving core is bad, and they keep throwing assets at it, and it keeps staying bad. So we're going to pick a good one for them. Dyami Brown out of North Carolina. I think that he can operate in multiple spots for them. I think he gives Cam Newton another option there. A guy that can take the top off the defense, but a guy that's a pretty decent little route runner as well. I think that he would fit in pretty well in New England and give Cam an actual option to throw the ball to, because he's going to need it, because they didn't draft another quarterback for them to struggle through next year with.
All right, Maddie. Los Angeles Chargers, pick 47. Is this the pick that gets them over the hump and finally gets them to not just be the offseason favorite to win the AFC West?
Well, first and foremost, I want to lobby against having to mock draft from behind Craig ever again, because this is the third time in this draft he has snaked a guy one pick ahead of where I had them mentally slated in. So with the Chargers, they needed a wide receiver. They need some speed on this wide receiver core. They have lost all their deep threats over the years. Dyami Brown was going to be the pick. He is now gone. The earlier run on corners kind of hurts them a little bit, but I do think this coaching staff coming over, they want their Jalen Ramsey. They want a guy that can match up with anybody from anywhere on the field. I have two names I'm going to propose. You guys tell me who you think is a better fit, and both are going to be a little bit of a surprise here because I think we consider them reaches, but Tyson Campbell, cornerback out of Georgia, all the athleticism in the world, just needs some help tracking the ball in the air. Or Kelvin Joseph, cornerback out of Kentucky, all the raw potential, minimal experience, has some off-field concerns. Which one of those two corners would they be more willing to take?
Oh, off-field concerns? You say?
Yes.
Well, then there you go. Kelvin Joseph.
And Kelvin Joseph's probably the better player when it's all said and done. Like, I think he's probably got the higher ceiling of him and Tyson Campbell.
Yeah, I think you bet on the ceiling. I do think I think Kelvin Joseph has a higher ceiling. So that's where I would go as well.
Yeah, no, let's go Kelvin Joseph. I think you want to keep Chris Harris in the slot at this age of his point in his career as much as possible. That Rams defense really took off with Jalen Ramsey being able to shadow guys, change sides on the field. I do think the Chargers will be looking for their true cornerback one. They would have liked to get, you know, a Stokes at this point in time, but he's off the board. So, Kelvin Joseph out of Kentucky it is.
All right, the Oakland A's on the clock. And I think they need to go up front in some capacity. I'm debating between Levi Onwuzurike out of Washington and Joseph Osai, the edge, out of Texas. Matthew, they've already addressed the offensive tackle position. Would you look at either of those guys, or do you even have somebody else?
No, I think those are two good options. I do think they've been adding bodies over the years at defensive end. So, I mean, yeah, they could keep stacking that room up, but they're three deep right now. So I would look to replace Maurice Hurst. You know, give me Levi coming out of Washington. I think he can step right in and replace a lot of what Maurice Hurst did for them.
I think that's what I'm doing. Another penetrating three tech. Levi Onwuzurike out of Washington is the Raiders pick at 48. The Philadelphia Eagles, after a trade with the Arizona Cardinals, are on the clock. And Jake Stack, what you got?
So I'm kind of going back and forth on this one. You know, the Eagles offensive line is a mess, generally speaking. And I'm looking at Jason Kelce, who is very old, and I'm looking at their interior offensive line. And I'm thinking, is this where Landon Dickerson just is too good of a value to pass up? And I think for the Eagles, that would be a great pick at this point, just because I think you can play him at guard immediately, and you can slide him in for Kelce next year or the year after, and then you can bank on him hopefully being healthy by that part at that point. So I think around this range with the medicals, It's super concerning, his medicals are, but he's one of the best. He is the best interior offensive lineman in this draft class, healthy. So at this point in the draft, I think the Eagles just have to say, let's do it. Let's take a flyer on this kid.
Well, let's be honest. The Eagles are tanking. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are in a position where they can afford for Landon Dickerson to take it slow, building up to this offseason. So they can wait out a little bit. And, you know, if he's not ready for the start of training camp, they can let him rest a little bit. They can kind of ease him in as needed, because this team isn't going anywhere this year. They can continue to build and stockpile for the 2022 season. I really like the idea of adding a guy like Landon Dickerson into the mix.
What a perfect fit, too, in Philadelphia. He will endear himself to that city like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. From a personality standpoint, that makes a ton of sense, too.
Miami Dolphins pick 50. The Chiefs are getting very close, but Craig, we have a few more. And who do the Dolphins take with their 75th pick in the first 50?
The Dolphins are having themselves a draft. Brian Flores gets an edge that he probably would have liked to get even earlier too, but because this edge class has a bunch of guys around the same tier, he fell. Joseph Osai out of Texas can play with his hand on the ground, can play standing up, can drop into coverage a little bit, allows Brian Flores to play a little more versatile with his edge defenders. Joseph Osai makes a ton of sense in a Dolphins defense.
You know what's really great about this pick too, Craig? Is he's never going to have to play against Tevin Jenkins, except
that's
in practice.
That's true.
Oh, man. Washington football team pick 51. What you thinking, Matt?
Guys, I think we've been way too chalk so far for a second round of a draft. Like, I understand that this is hard. It's really hard to do this. I understand. But we've been way too chalk. These are just kind of going down a very typical draft board. There's got to be some curveballs. Washington football team selects quarterback Davis Mills out of Stanford. Give the guy that I think has the best chance to surprise in a single season to make you think you have your franchise guy. If it doesn't work out, you retool for next year, get another quarterback, that's fine. I just think Davis Mills' trajectory to know if he's good or not is shorter than Kellen Mond, who has been a project for like all 28 years of his life.
And that project goes off the board next to the Chicago Bears at pick 52.
Does he?
Does he though? Here's the thing. Kellen Mond has been one of the funnest prospects, and we've got more inside jokes about Kellen Mond than anyone this year. And here's the funny thing. This happens every single year for a prospect. Isaiah Wilson. No, who's the cornerback? The Houston cornerback a couple of years ago.
Isaiah Johnson?
Isaiah Johnson in his arms.
His ankles.
Well, his stance. His stance with his stance and all that stuff. Okay, This year, Kellen Mond, we have jokes about his sharp elbows and how he looks unnatural with his elbows trying to pass. He looks like the most rigid passer above the waist. Sometimes he looks like a superstar. Sometimes he looks horrendous. And he's the biggest enigma in the history of this draft. And it's hilarious. And I'm going to have him go over Kyle Trask because I kind of want the mystery. Matt, what do you want?
So, like, I like this. I like talking about Kellen Mond. But when we were doing our first round, Jake dropped some insight on us, and I assume he follows the Bears a little bit closer than we do, you know, being a division rival. He said they were really interested in corners and wide receivers, and I'm sitting here with Terrace Marshall on the board at the mid-second round. We sure they don't want to go that route as they're trying to trade Anthony Miller.
Yes, the Bears suck. So this is
okay, makes sense.
And it's hilarious because the Bears never really know if they have a quarterback. So it would be so funny to watch Kellen Mond be like their starter for 5 years and then have articles written about how is Kellen Mond the best quarterback in the NFC North like they were about Trubisky. And then we're all like, is he?
But is he?
Is he? I don't know. Is he good? Can I go? Because I'm excited about my pick.
Yes.
So Azeez Ojulari is somehow on the board right now. I think we just kind of forgot about him. I didn't even look at what the Titans' needs are. I think they just say, boom, we're taking him. Similar to how kind of what happened with Harold Landry when he came out. A real nice player that everyone was like, why is he still on the board? Why is he still on the board? Why is he dropping? The Titans scooped him up, and he's been a good player for them. I think the Titans have Landry still. They signed Bud Dupree this offseason. But you can never have enough edge rushers, never enough pass rushers. So Azeez Ojulari to Tennessee at 53, maybe the steal of this second round so far. I think they would be ecstatic for that to happen.
Well, I will say the athletic testing was less than kind to an Azeez Ojulari. And
RAS-wise, he was still elite, though. We keep saying that, but his RAS came across as elite.
Yeah.
Explain a relative athletic score real quick. Just remind people because we just say RAS.
That is true. It is taking all of his athletic testing into account along with his size. So it's density adjusted. It's based on how tall he is, how much he weighs. And then it is, you know, using a formula of some kind that's way smarter than I can understand to tell you if he is a good athlete compared to the NFL averages, taking into consideration the density. He came across as an elite athlete for the edge position, albeit a lower end of elite athlete, but it was still elite nonetheless.
He tested better than 90% of edge rushers that have come out and entered the draft since the year 2000.
It was just strange because for a smaller guy, he was a little bit more, I think, powerful. Like his bench press was really good, if I remember correctly. And I think even his explosive testing was quality.
His vertical was terrible.
Okay.
His vertical was terrible.
His agilities were only average, which usually for a lighter guy, average agilities, bad vertical jump, you're not going to grade out well, but he still did.
His vertical was bad. I believe his broad was good, though. So, like, he's weird.
He had a 30-inch vertical and 10.7 broad.
30-inch?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, that's odd.
Average, you know, like a slightly above average three cone, 7.27. I don't know. All right, 54, Indianapolis Colts. What you got, Craig?
I got a player that has been rumored to the Colts for a little while now. Carlos Boogie Basham basically ticks all the boxes for a Colts edge defender. They need one really bad. They're probably going to consider one in the first. But the way that we had our draft fall, Elijah Vera Tucker was there, and they could not pass him up, draft him, kick Quentin Nelson out to tackle, and still get a good offensive line. They took value there. They get value here. Carlos Basham's their pick.
No arguments here. Pittsburgh Steelers, can they take two running backs in a one draft, Matt?
No, we're sitting here, and in this relatively good offensive tackle class, we still have a fair amount of capable offensive tackles left. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to kill two birds with one stone. They are going to draft Dylan Radunz out of North Dakota State. Maybe he plays left tackle in place of Anderson Villanueva. Maybe he kicks into center because they have a hole there too. Wherever they see him fit, I think he's a guy that you could see starting at either spot next year for the Steelers.
I don't hate that idea. I don't hate that idea at all. Okay, the Seattle Seahawks have their first pick in the draft.
So
and
pick
I think
somebody that we graded in round five.
That's what I was going to get there. I was thinking, like, It's like Tommy Doyle is the tackle.
I like Tommy Doyle.
Do you like him at 57?
No, but I like him. He's fun.
He's 56. Fun, I'm sorry. Okay, so big needs for this team. They probably need help at edge. They need a tackle. They're looking at a corner. What corner did you go with? You went with Kelvin Joseph earlier, right?
Yes.
I kind of need help on this one, guys.
We'll go.
You're going to go Tyson Campbell?
Maybe
here?
Tyson is a good spot here.
Do we think he can play that zone, though? I mean, like, does that seem like it's in his wheelhouse?
That's what I was kind of wondering. I was like,
what about...
Do we like him?
What, you want to talk about zone, guys? What about Asante? He's small. He doesn't really fit their profile, but you want a zone corner.
Nah, I think they like that length and that dent. You know, they link that length and size outside, I think, personally.
This is a tricky one. I mean, when in doubt, just go the best player available. I mean, I don't know if that's the Seahawks style. I'm not that deep into their drafting, but like just kind of pick who you see as the best player available.
They have never taken the best player available ever. They have taken the best player available on day three.
What about Adiba?
I mean, Terrace Marshall's still on the board. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do we think wide receiver's a big need for them?
Also, can we talk about why Terrace Marshall's still on the board? Why we think he's still on the board? Because I think it's worth bringing up.
It is worth bringing up. It's the medicals.
Yeah. Well, and we don't like him. Like, as a group, we are collectively lower on him than most other people. Combine that with a lot of reports about his knee being a potential issue and nobody ever really getting that solved because this year's crazy with the lack of combine medical checks. So it's a hurricane of both things. But I think it starts with we just aren't as high on him as a lot of people. Then you throw in the knee injury and we've just kind of had him free falling.
That pretty much... You know what? I'm going to go edge rusher. Here's a guy I like. I'm going to go Peyton Turner out of Houston.
Oh, boy, that makes a lot of sense for Seattle.
Does it not?
He's too good, though.
Pour one out for Daryl Taylor, Green, Rasheem Green from USC for our TCU guy.
Call LJ.
LJ Collier is terrible.
No, I get it. I don't think there's anything wrong with the pick. It's
that's
just
one of their biggest
out of 5
needs.
Years has been an edge rusher in the first two this, days of the draft.
And it's still a need for this football team. Still very obviously a need for this football
team. I'm fine with it.
You better be fine because that's the pick. 57. The Los Angeles Rams on the clock, Jake.
Yeah, so they really have a need at offensive tackle. And they better get one now because it is starting to dry up. Like, this is a deep offensive tackle group. I think you're still looking at guys that could come in and play the rookie year, even at this point in the draft. And so I'm going to give them a guy that I think is kind of a single, you know, not really a home run type guy. But I think for the Rams, they're kind of all in with trading for Stafford. And so I'm going to take Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame. I think he could potentially be a plug-and-play type guy for them at somewhere. So I think that's good value for them at the end of round two.
I was going to propose Liam Eichenberg as a candidate for this Kansas City Chiefs football team at 58 because I think he's got guard. He can play inside at guard if they don't think he can hold up at tackle. I don't think the Chiefs dislike him. Let's just say that. All right, 58, the first pick for your Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know, Craig, do we just want to like just lay this out, discuss? What do you want to do? Why don't you propose a name? Maybe we'll throw a couple other names out.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I hate us because we took all the players that I want off the board.
This is good. It's a good thing.
Can I throw a guy up real quick?
Yeah, throw him out.
Nick Bolton.
I don't think so.
They don't have a first-round pick. Kent said he wouldn't be a first-round pick of the Chiefs. What about the second?
I mean,
you know, he played at Mizzou.
The same problems.
Did you know that he played at Mizzou, though?
Yes,
right down the street.
I just think with the other coverage linebackers on the board here, if they're going to take somebody, they should take a coverage linebacker at this point, even though Spagnuolo won't. I am going to throw out Asante Samuel Jr. We know the Chiefs have been interested in slot corner in this offseason. You kick Legarius Sneed outside, your secondary gets way better. It is a need, albeit one that people might look at and say, hey, why didn't you take an edge? Why didn't you take a wide receiver? I don't love the value at those positions right here. So I would throw out that somebody else propose another name.
I would like to throw out Jackson Carmen, the offensive lineman out of Clemson. The arm length may not be requisite for an Andy Reid. Maybe he can prove himself as a potential tackle, but also I think he's a guy that ultimately could kick inside and guard, be a very, very good football player. Maybe he does enough to play left guard and you move Joe Tooney to center. And now you have Orlando Brown, Jackson Carmen, Joe Tooney, Kyle Long. Yes, I said it. Where's LDT? I don't care. And whoever you want at right tackle. That is a phenomenal, I think that's a great offensive line. I think that has the makings of a potentially great offensive line in front of Patrick LeVon Mahomes. That is my case. Does anybody else, Jake, Maddie, you want to throw one out?
Terrace Marshall is on the football, still on the draft board.
I mean, it should probably be Terrace Marshall. I mean, he's probably the best player that has gotten the most buzz here. Yeah, we're not as high on him as some others. Yes, I could see him falling to this point because of the medicals, because of some of the downfield drops, but he's big. He's got the athleticism. He could play X for the Chiefs. This would make a lot of sense to put Terrace Marshall here.
And I don't even think he's an X. I think you're probably going to play him as your Z more often than not and put Hill in the slot. But like, we're still, he's a big downfield threat that the Kansas City Chiefs would find a way to use. Like, and this is me being completely unbiased because I don't like him as a player. I would pound the table for Amon-Ra St. Brown if I was in charge. But Terrace Marshall, this value, that height, weight, speed, as long as his knee isn't going to blow up today, I don't know how he keeps falling down this board.
Well, you know who else had knee issues coming out of the draft and worked out pretty well was that Travis Kelce guy. You know, so I don't know. I think that's right. I think Terrace Marshall at this point, and you view it from the through the lens of, well, they don't have a first-round pick. They have 2 seconds now. So maybe with one of those seconds, take a swing on a guy that has first-round type talent. So I like the Terrace Marshall pick. I like the Carmen pick too, but I do think that Marshall should be the pick here.
Fine. Cleveland Browns, pick 59, Matt.
Ohio State's linebacker, Baron Browning, got to get some athleticism into that linebacker group. I think he can add a little bit of pass rush off the edge on third downs. I think there are natural coverage skills, even if I think he's not always sure what is happening on the football field.
All right, the New Orleans Saints on the clock. They need wide receiver. They need corner, edge, linebacker. They already kind of have their slot guy in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Tyson Campbell? Do we like Tyson Campbell here? Have we gotten Kadarius Toney off the board already? We have.
Yeah.
Right?
We have, but get the superior player, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'm fine with that. Ooh. I'm good with that.
4'6", Amon-Ra.
Yes. Amon-Ra St. Brown to the New Orleans Saints at pick 60. Bills, 61, Jake. It's getting hard.
The Bills are looking at probably a secondary player, like a corner.
Yes.
So I'm looking at, you know, I don't.
It's Tre'Davious White and then a bunch of dudes.
They play a lot of zone. If you want to throw Asante Samuel in there, I think that would make a lot of sense.
I was going to throw Asante out there. I was going to throw Javon Hollins out there as well for this pick.
Teron Johnson is their current nickelback right now.
Asante.
Go Asante.
Yeah,
or Richie Grant.
Richie Grant's not a bad idea either.
They have good safeties already.
They have great safeties. Yeah, and they have safeties in that mold too. Like Micah Hyde is kind of a slot defender, and Richie Grant's kind of a slot defender. So like, is that too much of that? And that's the same thing with Asante. Like, do you really, like, I'm thinking, like, they need, like, a boundary corner, don't they?
I don't know. The boundary corner market is pretty tapped out unless you're thinking that Tyson Campbell's going to line up there.
They also need, and this is totally from listening to our pal Joe Marino at the Draft Network, they need another receiver, another outside-type receiver, because they lost John Brown. So a guy, or not an outside, but a guy that's just a straight burner like that. And I don't know if there's one available right now that I like, but I mean, I am still looking at, you just took on Monroe, didn't you?
Well, I mean, hear me out for this. Like, I agree they need another wide receiver, and he's not a burner in any way, shape, or form. But if you are eventually going to have to move on from Cole Beasley, what about like an Amari Rodgers to replace him in the future? I don't know what they're looking for in a receiver. I'm just thinking if you're going to have to get a new receiver to replace some guys that are aging, the Emmanuel Sanders, the Cole Beasleys. I mean, Amari Rodgers, I know the NFL likes. Don't know if we like him here, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I like him here, but I guess, I think a Seth Williams, too, right here might make some sense. A guy that's got a lot of speed.
Do we have any edges we like? They still just have Jerry Hughes and a bunch of nobodies.
Jerry Hughes, or Dalen Hayes is available. This is a tough one.
Ronnie Perkins? Does Ronnie Perkins fit what the Bills like? This is a great segment here for a podcast.
Let's go. Do Ronnie Perkins.
This is us through the DMs. Yeah, I like Ronnie Perkins. That's good. Way to talk that through, fellas. Ronnie Perkins is the pick here from Oklahoma, the edge. Get him some pass rush. You're going to have to chase down Patrick LeVon Mahomes now that he has some protection in front of him. You're going to need some guys to get after him.
Jake, shut up so your team can get on the clock. Pick 62, the Green Bay Packers.
Jake, who should they take, Spencer Brown or Stone Forsythe?
Neither.
Hey, you don't think Packers You don't want an offensive tackle?
They're taking Asante if he's available here. They've met with him three times.
Okay, then yeah, but lock in Asante Samuel here. I was trying to give Aaron some help. Why does nobody want to give Aaron any help ever?
They traded up to get him a first-round receiver for the first time in his career in the
first round.
Protect
him, too.
Jair needs some help.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs back on the clock. Matty Lane has the floor. Let's have this conversation.
I mean, well, all the guys we mentioned last time are still there besides Asante Samuel, but I can replace Asante Samuel with Richie Grant. I think the Chiefs are one of the teams that would, in fact, play three safeties and have no qualms with drafting a second slot safety. They put L'Jarius Sneed in the slot a ton last year. He didn't play safety, but that's a position they play a lot of. They ask to do a lot of things. So I will open this up to everybody. Who is the better run defender / blitzer out of Richie Grant and Javon Holland? The answer is my nomination. Not saying that has to be the pick, just that would be my nomination for a pick.
And I can't throw Molden in this equation?
You should be able to. I think those three guys...
I would. Ooh. Too poor of an athlete with too short of arms.
He is a poor athlete with short arms. He is. He is, but also Kawan Williams, not a great athlete, short arms, and the Chiefs were in on him this offseason. So
you talked me into it. Take my guy, Elijah Molden, cornerback.
Seriously?
Washington. I got talked into it. I mean,
he's a spagsy guy.
I like Richie Grant. That's okay. All right, fine. Fine.
Wait. Tommy Trimble is still on the board. We will have no chance to ever draft him again. Ever.
Do we think we can get a slot player at 144?
No. Yes. Maybe.
Let's take, you know what?
Michael Carter or Rashad Wild Goose might be there at the end of round four.
You know what? I think we should honor Jake and hashtag score 100 and grab Tommy Trimble out of Notre Dame. I think, hey, insulate Patrick LeVon Mahomes with more weapons is never a bad thing. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the board, and I think I got to go find an edge for him.
Good luck.
It's going to be tough. I could see
Jordan Smith.
Wait. I say Jordan Smith.
Yeah, the UAB kid.
Jordan Smith is a guy. Do we like Jordan Smith here?
Why not Jaxon Carmen?
It could be. Do you know what? That's a good pick from they need offensive line depth. He's a guy that could be tackled, could be an interior offensive lineman. I like it. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go Jaxon Carmen out of Clemson. That is going to do it for the two-round mock of the AP Draft Show. Thank you guys all so very, very much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. Enjoy the draft. We'll be back after every single day to recap what happened. Catch you later.